Outside the umbrella of Giriraj, the huge cloud formation sent by furious Indra poured incessant rain and blew fierce hurricane winds. Yet, not even one particle of dust washed off of the surface of Giriraj. The deer, birds, animals, and even the leaves on the trees remained totally unaffected by the devastating storm. The deluge, which assailed the earth after being brought from the ocean by the clouds, again ran back to the sea. The discomfort the clouds underwent from swallowing the ocean water and vomiting it back was the only result of their proposed calamity. The storm tried his best to show off his power, but he soon became totally exhausted from pouring profuse rain. Alas, alas, the clouds retreated and fell at the feet of their master, Indra. Illusioned by his rage, Indra felt no fatigue as he continued to attack Giriraj. Being blinded by anger, he finally lost all his intelligence and went totally blind. The torrential rains and cyclone winds harassed Vrindavan continually for 7 days. Although repeatedly trying to fulfill the orders of Indra, whose intelligence was more crooked than millions of lightning bolts, the clouds could not destroy or even slightly disturb the people of Vrindavan. The big clouds and their assistants almost died from their hard labor to please Indra. Although pulled down from his platform of false pride, and although he was defeated, the shameful Indra retained his fighting antagonistic spirit. Those 7 days felt like 7 millenniums of intense pain for Indra, yet the Brijbasis saw it quite differently, as 7 joy-filled hours. Oh, just see the wonderful splendor of the Lord's divine prowess, which transcends the comprehension of even Brahma and Shiva. Although Govanan Hill is immovable, it rested on the hand of Krishna. For 7 long days, the monsoon rains and horrific earth-shaking winds tortured the people of the world with bitter suffering and untold miseries. The serene and peaceful Giriraj, however, was not the least bit disturbed. By being constantly bathed by the rains and anointed with the fragrance of Krishna's divine body, Giriraj looked absolutely radiant and beautiful throughout the whole ordeal. By the mercy of Krishna, the danger finally ended. In the distance, the Brijbasis saw the gateways and rooftop rooms of their houses glittering attractively from being washed by the heavy rains. A fresh, clear sky appeared to fill all directions with auspiciousness. The people of Vrindavan felt they had just emerged from a deep, dark well of calamity and had come to the light of their own good fortune. The earth planet thought it was again sitting on the tusks of Adivaraha. The plants and creepers sprouted anew and unfurled fresh leaves. Just as one cured of the disease of insanity attains peace and no longer suffers from epileptic fits, similarly, the wind, now freed from the disease of devastation, blew ever so gently. The rivers, or the wives of the ocean, again flowed slowly and respectfully towards their husbands. And just as the forceful pushings of the mind subside as one advances on the path of God realization, similarly, the blasting clouds dissipated to leave a clear sky behind them. After aborting 7 children represented by the 7 days and nights, the wife of time now gave birth to a beautiful son appearing as the auspicious 8th day. On that day, the Supreme Lord Giridhari said, "The fierce winds and rain have now ceased, and the sky is totally free from the clouds of devastation, free from the thick covering of mud. The earth is now dry, and it is smooth. After falling unconscious for 1 week, the sun has opened his eyes. O residents of Vrindavan, Giridhari said, your village has returned to its normal state, and now it is time to come out from beneath the mountain. After hearing this, everyone assembled in a happy mood and let out the cows. The cows considered themselves fortunate because they got to relish the sweetness of Krishna's face for 7 continuous days. They lost interest in other things that had previously pleased them. When the coward boys called them out, they delayed for a while, and then they shot out like a volley of arrows. But when they saw Krishna still under the hill, they quickly ran back and surrounded him. Immediately, Krishna drove them out again by glancing at them with the compassion of a friend. From all directions, the smooth-skinned, pleasant-looking herds of cows streamed out from the valley under Govardhan Hill. As they came up, they looked like the expanded hoods of Seshanaga rising out of Patalaloka, or a sheet of moonshine hiding in a cave out of fear of darkness, or like matted locks of diffused light being born from the crystal mountain of Kiridas. Thus, induced by Krishna's words, the cowherd men gave up their fear and they smiled cheerfully. With great enthusiasm, they left the temporary village beneath Kiridas, and as the elated gopis cast veiled glances at Krishna as they walked out from the hill, the effulgent gopis seemed like rays of a brilliant light visible even in the daytime, or the dazzling rays emanating from the valuable jewels below the mountain, or the glowing light of the ruby atop the hood of a nagasnake. After the cowherd boys left, Krishna set the hill down exactly in its previous location. He tossed Giriraj off his hands, just like a child throwing a flower ball. Then Krishna met his friends for more pastimes of wandering in Vrindavan, and overwhelmed with ecstatic love, the residents of Vrindavan came forward to greet Krishna according to their individual relationships with him. His eyes pouring tears of love, Balaram warmly embraced Krishna. Yashoda Maya said, alas, alas, my son's body has been severely weakened from bearing such a heavy weight. And using her lotus palm, Yashoda massaged Krishna's left arm and kissed his hand with great affection. Rohini, who had attained the summit of parental affection, offered aarti to Krishna and Balaram with an artistically designed jewel ghee lamp. With their hearts, which were the abodes of deep love for Krishna, the housewives of Vrindavan offered him their full blessings. They then worshipped Krishna with yogurt, with rice paddy and fresh grass. The potent brahmanas and their attractive wives offered boons and blessings and words of praise. Sananda and the other cowherd men who were elderly, they bound by the ropes of intense parental affection. They embraced the boys and smelled their heads. The beloved gopis and their associates, who had dyed in pure love and covered by shyness, they also honored Krishna and Balaram. They worshipped them with their doe-eyed glances and their lotus faces blossoming with desire. While they embraced Krishna and Balaram within their minds, their lips shone attractively with sweet smiles. As the spring season is ornamented with the months of Chaitra and Vaishak, which are full of fragrant flowers, similarly demigods such as the Siddhas, Vidyadharas, Gandharvas, and Kimpurushas showered flowers in great delight while singing the glories of Krishna. The demigods prayed, all glories to the son of Nanda Maharaj, all glories to the holy abode of Vrindavan, which abounds in blissful mellows. O Krishna, you are enriched by superb qualities. The pure taste of serving your lotus feet is the source of unlimited bliss in the hearts of realized souls. Your all-attractive transcendental body is concentrated liquid nectar. The moonlight of your nails, which shines like brilliant rubies, takes away all the miseries of your intimate associates. There's no limit. There's no limit to the ways. There's no limit to your fame. Hey, Sridhara. Hey, sober one. Hey, super excellent hero of Vrindavan. Hero of Vrindavan. Oh, Gopa with the bluest, blackest body. May you always be victorious. Anyone who once says, I am yours, and from this day forward I completely surrender unto you, is immediately delivered from material existence by your mercy. It is impossible for us to calculate how much you reward one who serves your enchanting lotus feet, which removes the miseries of repeated birth and death. Oh, beloved Gokul, you are served, worshipped, and glorified by pure devotees who are eternally liberated and full of knowledge. O Lord of the demigods, your transcendental behavior astonishes the entire universe. We repeatedly offer our obeisances unto you. O Krishna, O glories unto you, O Indra, who is especially angry, crooked, impudent, and falsely proud. He misbehaved by cruelly attacking Vrindavan with his Samvartaka clouds. The Vrishbasis prayed to you for protection, and you saved them from destruction by holding up Giriraj with the splendid pole of your arm. In this pastime, Giriraj sat in your hand just like a play ball. You offered your lotus hand to Giriraj as a wonderful bed. You turned Indra's mountain of pride into an insignificant pebble, just as a crest jewel is firmly fixed in the crown of a king. Similarly, those who oppose to you are tightly bound in the prison of material existence. Alas, what is the destiny of one full of false pride? O friend of the Brijbasis, O ocean of compassion, O Lord of the three worlds who wanders throughout the creation, you personally maintain the surrendered souls by your inconceivable potencies. But those bound in the prison house of pride never attain the fortune of serving your lotus feet. O Lord, all victory to you. You have sown the seed of love within the hearts of the gopis. O you whose elegant crown is adorned with a peacock feather, glistening attractively like a beautiful rainbow, you constantly churn the mellows of love into a condensed form and then taste that bliss with your devotees. Without a doubt, your body is totally transcendental. It is the origin of creation, and the ornament it carries so gracefully is compassion. Your body is the source of unlimited glories and is the shelter of endless spiritual euphoria. You are the embodiment of fortune for the adept yogis seeking spiritual ecstasy in their hearts.